It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Tops Friendly Markets. Score big savings and elevate your food game.
Good morning. I love the show. You guys pump me up every morning on the way to work.
Loosen ourselves.
Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We want to pump you up.
Go Bills! Let's go!
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
I love Buffalo. Go Bills!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right. TGIF, happy Friday.
Is this a one-hit wonder?
No.
No?
I mean, it's a big hit, but no, House of Pain had more than Jump Around.
Okay. Like?
Shamrocks and Shenanigans is the name of the album. They also had, you put me on the spot here, what other song?
See, that's what makes it a one-hit wonder.
They're not a one-hit
wonder. Just off the top of your head, like, oh, well, they've also got blank and blank. You know, like the Killers. You say Mr. Brightside, and like, what else they got? Well,
the Killers have
When We Were Young.
And the Killers have a million songs.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
House of Pain has Shamrocks and Shenanigans. Top of the Morning to You is a good one. Let's go to their next album here.
Not instilling confidence. I think they might be a one-hit wonder.
No.
I think they might be. No. If I go to like their Spotify page and see like downloads per song, what's the difference going to be between number one and number two?
This is going to have like a billion.
And a billion. Well,
not a billion. But the next one's going to have.
Oh, come on. Look at this. Look at the difference. This is not spreading the ball around. This is 573 million downloads for Jump Around. Number two is 17 million.
What song's that?
Top of the Morning to You.
It's a good song.
We go from 573 million to 17 million. Come on. That's a one-hit wonder. Although 17 million is a big number, too, probably.
Listen, earlier today, we learned that you didn't know who Roger Maris is.
A baseball player from 1958. Yes, I did not know. Sue me. Who did you? It's like you not knowing who was a three-time All-Star in 1930. Toe Blake. That was just the first name. 30s athlete.
Toe Blake.
That came to mind. Or at least he was a coach, maybe.
I don't know very many people named Toe.
That would make him more memorable, yeah. I would think. Roger Maris. Like there were probably a bunch. There were a million Rogers back then.
Now I got to find out why they called him Toe. He was also known as the old lamplighter, Toe Blake was.
Like, do you know who Bill Dickey is?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
I don't think you know who Bill Dickey is.
I've heard the name.
Catcher on the 1930s all-decade team.
Everybody knows that.
I don't think you knew who he was.
You're better off asking me modern-day people, like when I famously didn't know who J. Cole was.
Oh, like that one. Holy cow.
You're better off that.
Not even like TikTokers or YouTubers, just like artists. You know Kendrick Lamar is, right?
I do know Kendrick Lamar.
He's doing the Super Bowl halftime show, so you'll definitely know
that. That I know, yep.
Okay. Do you know who...
Jack Harlow.
Yes.
100%?
I didn't know who Josh's girlfriend, Haley Steinfeld, I did not know who she was until...
Okay.
It was like, oh, this is Josh's girl. I didn't know who that was.
Yeah. Bad Bunny?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so you're doing pretty good here then.
Yeah, you got a better chance there. Listen, I don't have brain space left.
The bandwidth is all taken up.
It's really running low. Yeah. I fell asleep last night at 7:30 putting the kids to bed. Like that's my brain saying like, "Hold on, we need a couple hours here."
Do you know who Sabrina Carpenter is?
Yes. Yes. Why do I am, by the way, getting into knowing who people are because now the kids want to hear their songs.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, Sabrina Carpenter, yes. Yeah. Chappell Roan, yes.
How about Khalid?
Yes.
Okay. All right, you're doing pretty well,
then. You
knew
all these people, but you know who J. Cole was?
In the context of that story, it was that Colin Kaepernick, I think it was Kaepernick, told J. Cole something. And there was a Yahoo writer named Jason Cole, who I thought they were referring to. And then I found that that's not who it was.
Yeah.
So it was context that was the problem there.
Yeah.
All right. Enough out of you two. Let's talk about something else. What can we talk about?
That isn't Roger Maris or J.
Here's
Cole.
Here's an example. The Shorzy Classic is coming to the KeyBank Center. What's that?
You don't know what that is?
Not really.
You never seen Letterkenny?
I have seen some of Letterkenny,
so
and I did Shorzy enjoy it.
Shorzy is a spinoff show from Letterkenny, okay. From the character Shorzy in Letterkenny.
Gotcha. That I did not know. I have seen some of Letterkenny.
Yeah, so I haven't watched much of Shorzy, but the spinoff to Letterkenny, or from Letterkenny, was the Shorzy show, and that's like this whole thing that they're doing. I didn't know it was like coming to other cities, though. I didn't know.
So they're going
to
play Sabres alumni, basically, is how this usually goes?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, because they're going to Toronto and Boston, too, and I think playing alumni.
So there's
going to
be a Sabres alumni team?
I think so.
I'm into that. I wanted them to have a Sabres alumni team when, you know, they had a bunch of Winter Classics in a row where it was like, hey, the Kings alumni team is playing the Ducks alumni team or whoever they're playing. And they didn't do that when the Sabres played the Rangers, right? That second Winter Classic?
At Citi Field.
Yeah, they didn't do it. And I was hoping they would, like a Sabre alumni team. Soccer does this all the time, and they sell out their stadiums for it. Like, I see Liverpool tweet about it all the time. Like, hey, guys, on Saturday coming up at Anfield, their stadium, Liverpool's alumni are playing Manchester United's alumni. And it's like a real game, and the stadium is sold out. That would be super cool. They might get more fans in the building today if they said, hey, guys, Briere and Miller and Pekka.
Brian Campbell.
Like, we've got a team of alumni that are going to play the Leafs alumni.
It is a little tough, though. Like, if you're Briere, are you a Sabres alumni game player or a Flyers alumni game player?
Well, the problem there is the Sabres, all the great Sabre players of the past are, like, might identify as another team first. So what team's Dahlin going to win the Cup for next, by the way?
I did hear that joke.
That joke was made a lot. Let's draft teams Dahlin's going to win the
Cup
for.
Now that he's captain, he's going to get traded.
What's the over-under?
Listen, before the Super Great American Football Friday frenzy, wasn't Jason Pominville named the captain overseas also?
Yes. There was a video.
Yeah.
In a locker room somewhere in Europe, I think.
So, a trivia question. Which two Sabres captains have been named overseas? It's Pominville and Dahlin. Listen, two
teams, you know, the only reason
Germany?
That was Helsinki, I think.
Yeah.
Oh no, you're right. Germany, because they played like some German team.
When Leno was on the team and Luke Adams scored. And
the only reason I remember that video is because I remember watching in the video that Vanek was mad. But you could see it. He was not happy. He wanted the C, and then he gave it to Pominville. Anyways.
One thing about the videos yesterday. So the Sabres tweeted out a video, and it was narrated by Josh Allen, and that was a cool video. It was like Dahlin growing up through the years, his photo, and it was really cool. I thought it was really well done. And Allen narrates it, and anything he touches turns to gold, so that was cool. Then the Sabres also tweeted out the video with Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff making the announcement from Germany, from Munich.
Yep.
And that was a little less cool, only because, you know, you're just basically watching the GM.
And not Josh Allen.
Yeah.
In comparison, it's kind of a tough bar to reach.
Well, he's talking. He goes, I really shouldn't be up here talking like this. And it's like, well, I mean, no, all right. It's just kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like they, in the announcement of Dahlin, like, we got a lot of leaders on this team. It's like, all right, you guys can say that to us on the radio. In the meetings, you know, it's fine. You got a lot of leaders on this team. Dahlin's the captain, as he should be. Anyway. It was kind of a funny video. It took me back to when... By the way, Lindy has named two captains overseas.
Yeah, Lindy has.
Lindy was both times.
He was here, yeah.
Okay.
He also is doing the rotating alternates. No one loves to rotate a captaincy or alternates more than Lindy Ruff.
Cousins, Thompson,
Samuelson, and...
Talk.
Thank you.
All right. Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Let's do it.
Football.
Super, super great, great American football Friday frenzy.
All right, full disclosure, a little peek behind the curtain. We have an absolute gold soundbite that we found from Mike Tomlin. They will be the part of future
Football Friday Frenzy intros, opens.
Okay. What do you say now? He's got some good ones.
He does have some pretty good lines, and he's got one that he's apparently said a bunch. He likes to say, don't blink, right? Like, don't blink, yeah. Don't blink. And this is almost like a Michael Scott-level line that Tomlin has. Ready?
Okay.
It's don't blink, and then he takes it one step further.
What will your final message be to your team before you send them out here?
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. You know, this is not going to be for the faint of heart. We understand what type of game we're in.
If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. That is Michael Scott. Don't blink.
That's our new Dan Campbell biting kneecaps. We're cutting
your
eyelids
off. All right, coach, I won't blink. Holy cow. Anyway.
He did say also 3 days ago, I just was searching for the Tomlin quote. There's another one he made. It's just no context. Brooke Pryor, who covers the team, tweeted, quote, Tomlin, we don't have rabbit foots in our pocket.
All right. He doesn't think they're lucky.
Wouldn't that be rabbit's feet?
Maybe.
You can't hide on this team. We'll drag you out and make you fight. What? I mean,
he's good. He's quotable.
There's no one better at sounding interesting while saying nothing than Mike Tomlin.
Okay.
Cut your eyelids off.
Don't blink. Okay. On to the weekend's matchups. It's another one of those weeks where the Bills, since they're in prime time, maybe you're interested in what games we might be getting. Early on, Denver at the Jets.
Denver surprising everyone last week, right?
Like, they beat Tampa.
Yeah, that might be a lot.
That might be a little more about Tampa's offense, which got off to a great start, did not look that good the last 2 weeks. They did beat Detroit. But Denver at the Jets, we get that game. The CBS late game is Kansas City and L.A. So, yeah. All right, Bills fans, here's what you get to watch. Jets, Chiefs, Bills on Sunday night. Not bad. The other game we get locally is Philadelphia at Tampa Bay.
Okay.
I can hate watch the Eagles. Other matchups this week, Minnesota and Green Bay.
Great matchup. But do we know who's starting a quarterback for Green Bay?
We don't.
Willis has still looked good, though. Well, he's looked good because LaFleur, I think, is really helping him out.
If we're going to say Josh Allen's the best quarterback in football because he's got a claim to it and right now he's playing the best,
yeah,
then this Minnesota-Green Bay matchup is the two best coaches in football.
O'Connell and LaFleur.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're both thought of as...
It's a coach of the year bowl.
They're both thought of as really good coaches. They've both had to deal with injuries and scramble and, okay, what are we going to do with Sam Darnold? We're going to do with Malik Willis. And they're both doing pretty well. So,
yeah,
give them their flowers. They're both pretty good coaches. Jacksonville at Houston. Thing to track for Houston, Tank Dell has not been healthy this year.
Right.
And he's out a little bit now. I saw Matt Harmon tweeting about the fact that you should be treating Tank Dell as receiver three there, and it is, in fact, Collins and Diggs, but Nico Collins has been hurt, too.
Yeah, I think he's still supposed to play, though.
Yes.
On Sunday, but Dell probably isn't. So, and that's worth watching for next week, too, Tank Dell,
yeah,
not playing.
Collins has a hamstring injury,
yeah,
that he's dealing with, added to the injury report. Can you imagine if the Bills go to Houston and all the other receivers on Houston are injured and unavailable to play? And then Bills fans can mock Diggs. They're like, oh, look at this. Now it's all through you, just like you want it.
Well, because it's so funny about this. Like, the Bills have made their mantra, everybody eats. The Texans have been saying the same thing since the offseason. Their offense is, they're talking more about three guys, but it's Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, everybody eats. Their target shares are all, well, Dell actually is a distant third right now, actually.
Yeah,
I think in theory it was, they're all going to be around the same. Maybe Collins is a little higher than the other two. But so far, it's Collins is one, Diggs is two, then there's a drop, and then Dell is third.
Well, again, things are great right now. I got no problem with Joe Brady. I would just, again, I'm not mad, point this out about Everybody Eats.
Dalton Schultz, too, there, by the way.
Everybody Eats is great. When they lose a game, this is Brian Daboll's quote about balance. When you win, nobody cares about balance. When you lose, they want to talk about your balance. If the Bills were to lose to Baltimore, no one would say, hey, what happened? They threw it to 10 different people. No one would say that. Instead, it would be, why didn't you throw it to Kincaid more?
Or Shakir.
Or Shakir.
Shakir would be the guy now.
Right? Yeah.
If they lose the game and Shakir has one catch, what is the most popular call the next morning?
Why didn't you throw to Shakir?
Why didn't you throw the ball to Khalil
Shakir? How come you couldn't get it to Shakir? Right, exactly. 100%.
So, everybody eats.
I told you last year the Bills threw to 9 different receivers 7 times last year. And it wasn't any more with Brady than Dorsey. And Brian Daboll, the Bills tied an NFL record with 13 different receivers catching a touchdown. Whatever. It's great. If everybody wants to eat, that's fine. We'll see if that works against Baltimore. I also think it tends to work when you're dominating teams, right? When you're up 28 points in the first half, that fifth touchdown can go to Ty Johnson.
Right.
Anyway, other games to keep an eye on this week.
By the way, I think that Texans matchup, that's the last game Trevor Lawrence won. He beat the Texans in November last year, and I think he has like an 8-game losing streak since then. So
that's Jacksonville at Houston. The Jags, maybe they get their coach fired if they lose. Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. You can't make me watch that game.
The Colts? If the Colts don't look like they start getting it together now, the Texans are going to cruise to that division.
I asked this of Scott Pianowski yesterday, and I'll use a phrase that you've used before. There's probably some sort of meme here that Jaden Daniels is who Anthony Richardson was promised to be.
Oh.
The prince who was promised?
The prince who was promised.
Like, Anthony Richardson is not living up to it. He had 4 good games last year from a fantasy standpoint. He still might be a really good fantasy quarterback, but right now there are really troubling underlying numbers with Richardson. We'll see if he can turn it around. And Jaden Daniels has burst onto the scene. It's like, oh, that's who Richardson was supposed to be, that guy. Jaden Daniels looks legit.
There was a chart. there was a funny chart that was like quarterbacks, how good they are in vertical throws versus like horizontal throws. And Richardson, like, they had to make the chart 3 times bigger for him because he is like right middle of the pack on vertical throws. And it's like he's the worst quarterback in the league in horizontal throws. And they had to scroll like so far over to the left that like you had to minimize everybody where you can't even read it because he's so bad at, I think that's the easy stuff, right? Depend. He can throw it over someone's shoulder, and that's like it looks like. He's very raw, though. He has started still only like 12 games, or maybe it's 15 games, something like that, in his career, including college. So that's the Colts and the
Pittsburgh
Steelers.
At Indy. Kansas City, LA, we mentioned that. The Chargers. The Browns are in Las Vegas.
And Herbert's hurt, so it stinks.
That's no good. Browns are in Las Vegas. Okay. That's Max Crosby's going to feast on Deshaun Watson.
That's the game you can't make me watch. Browns and Raiders. That's probably one of the lower over-unders of the week.
That should have been a sign that the Jags were not good, is that they lost to the Browns. The Browns, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Philadelphia at Tampa, we mentioned. New Orleans at Atlanta.
Okay.
One of those teams is about to, it feels like that's a, I don't know, the Saints got off such a hot start and then lost to the Eagles. The Falcons looked terrible early and have since kind of looked better. If Atlanta wins that game, I feel like they're going to, to me, it's going to feel like they're on track. They're back on track. Rams at Chicago. The Rams defense is horrible. If Caleb Williams can't get it going against the Rams, it's whatever.
Every day on Twitter is, look how bad Shane Waldron is, the Bears offensive coordinator. That coaching staff, the head coach has been there. So, like, you want to talk about guys who could be fired midseason. I don't know. I know he's a rookie.
Eberflus?
But, yeah, he's been there. It was kind of confusing they kept him in the first place.
I think the same, yeah.
So, if their season's off the rails and they can't get Caleb Williams going against bad defenses, I mean, that should be fired.
On ESPN, 3 out of 4 picking the Bills to beat the Ravens. The only one not picking is Bart Scott.
Who played for the Ravens.
That's alumni. It's an alumni pick.
Doesn't even count.
Does not count. Cincinnati, Carolina, the Andy Dalton revenge game. It would be hilarious if the Bengals finish 0-4, start 0-4, rather.
Do you want to hear about a futures bet that I made?
Yes.
This week? I bet the Panthers to win the NFC South.
What is it, plus?
How do you feel about
700?
That? 700? I'm looking now. It's way down. No, it's lower than that. It was in the thousands.
Okay.
I mean, the division might not be that good. And they looked good with Dalton.
Are they one game out right now?
They're one game back. Plus 2,200.
Okay.
Yeah, send the Bengals to 0-4.
Late games, New England at San Francisco.
Bloodbath.
The Niners need a get-right game.
Yeah.
and Washington at Arizona. That's the highest scoring expectation of the week.
Washington is suddenly like the most fun team in the league because Daniels looks amazing and they can't stop anybody on defense.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Coming into the season, one of the big stories was, is America ready for the Bears to be fun? And the answer is no. How about Washington?
Washington's fun.
I don't know if I'm ready for Washington to be fun, but they are. All right. There's
a lot
your
of points.
Set of week four matchups. And, of course, you go to Bills and
what's the Monday night games?
Monday Night Football is a great question.
Oh, doubleheader, right?
Yes.
We got the
Titans-Dolphins.
Titans-Dolphins, and there's another one that's actually decent, I think.
Seattle-Detroit.
That's a good game.
That is a good game.
That's a good game.
Seattle-Detroit. Do you know...
Good thing it's a doubleheader. If it was just Titans-Dolphins, it would stink.
The Geno Smith story is not even just like, oh, he's kind of fun and comeback good. Some of the... Maybe Stephen Ruiz? Like,
yes.
Some of these NFL quarterback... whatever, the people that...
The gurus.
Gurus. Chart them all the time. Are like, no, Geno's like the eighth best quarterback in football. Like, he's better than Trevor Lawrence. Geno Smith.
That might be certain at this point.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. You want to get a call in on Bills Ravens? You can join us. Jeremy and Joe taking your calls, hanging out on a Football Friday. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
To my eye, he has clearly been the best quarterback in the NFL this season. And watching him, it was like just watching a guy in total control of his craft and the game. The thing that's so amazing is I think he had only two more incompletions than touchdowns in the first half. He wasn't even pushing the ball downfield. And that's what's so beautiful about this team. The offense is like a finely tuned machine. And Josh, he's not forcing it. He is just making the right decisions. Every ball is accurate. They just look like an absolute wagon right now. I was so impressed by him.
Mina Kimes of ESPN. And Joe Brady is going to get a lot of credit, as he should, for how this offense has looked through 3 weeks. Winning games in different ways, utilizing different weapons. Football Friday here on WGR. Bills and Ravens on Sunday Night Football. I think I am going to go chili. Chili or stew?
Chili. Chili. All day. Chili.
Yeah, haven't we established that you've never had a good stew?
Yeah, that's probably right.
Okay.
That's probably right.
I'm making award-winning chili. I've never been in a stew competition, but I feel like
I don't think that's a thing.
A stew competition?
There should be stew competitions.
You know why there isn't stew competitions and there are chili competitions? Because chili's way better. That's why.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why are there hot dog this eating contests? Because people like hot dogs. Why are there chicken wing contests? People like chicken wings.
This is all just why because you have never had a good stew.
Hold on, this doesn't even hold up to any sort of scrutiny.
Sure it does.
There's hot dog eating competitions because people like hot dogs?
There's no liver eating competition. Why? Because people don't eat liver and onions
people
anymore.
Like steak. Are there steak eating competitions?
There kind of is at restaurants when they're
there's
like...
There's also mayonnaise eating competitions.
Oh, that's different.
When you're talking butter about, eating like competitions.
What you're talking about is like a restaurant challenge where I have to eat like five pizzas.
That's kind of like a competition.
And I get a free t-shirt.
Like they say, hey, here's all the people that did it. Can you do it? And then you're like competing with those past people.
Uh-huh.
I like those. I like when I go to a restaurant and there's a challenge involved.
They're usually pretty...
Have you ever done one, though?
No. I had a friend that tried. There was a restaurant in town that had like a giant sandwich that might be a pound of deli meat. And if you eat the whole sandwich and fries... I have a good friend, Paul, who is one to take on these challenges. I have never taken on a food challenge. But I like... If I'm at a restaurant and they've got one, I like to pretend I'm going to do it. And then just order, like a turkey club.
ask the waiter or waitress about like all about the competition and be like, oh, okay, cool.
What would the prize have to be for you to do it? If you got a year's worth of food from this place.
It depends what the actual challenge is.
All right, this deli meat one.
A pound of deli meat on a sandwich? It might have been 2 pounds.
All right, 2 pounds. 2 pounds, but if you do it, you get a year of free sandwiches.
Nah, probably not.
No? Nah? What about a lifetime supply?
No, you got to offer me like... Around at Augusta or something.
Oh, my. Okay.
That's the go-to.
Okay, there you go.
Would you do it?
A 100 pimento cheese sandwiches to play one round at Augusta. Could you do it?
I've never had a pimento cheese sandwich, so I've got to find out how good they are.
Okay, wait. This is perfect because Jeremy hates eggs. You got to eat 10 egg salad sandwiches to play a round at Augusta.
Wouldn't even consider it.
What?
Wouldn't even consider it.
Nope.
Okay, by the way.
What about one egg salad sandwich to play around at Augusta?
I don't think I could get through it. I don't think I could do it.
Come on.
By the way, the challenge at this local place, I found it online. It's 6 pounds. It's not 1 pound.
Yikes.
A pound of ham, pound turkey, pound roast beef, 1 pound of vegetables, pound of bread, a pound of fries on the side.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Is this one of those, though, where you like can have like two teammates?
No. This has been attempted 100 times and 2 people have succeeded.
Wow. Food challenges. Yeah, not my thing.
You need to eat 6 pounds of food in 45 minutes. If you win.
Oh,
you,
there's a timer, too.
If you win,
well,
you get a t-shirt.
Sense.
And you're not charged for your challenge, and your name goes on the wall.
Okay. Oh, that's part of it, too. You don't get charged if you get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Connor on a cell phone. Hey, Connor, good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I was just wondering, what are your thoughts on the outlook of the Ravens season if they drop this game today or on Sunday? They fall to 1-3, but... do you think in Baltimore and nationally it'll be more of like a schedule thing where they chalk it up as a couple of bad breaks and a tough schedule? Or do you think it's going to be kind of like the season's kind of spiraling?
It's a good question. I mean, they are also, as we talked with Brian Wacker of Baltimore Sun, they are also a team that was like team in transition.
Yes.
They had a great shot last year, and they went through some roster attrition that was just going to happen. They lost pieces. They lost their defensive coordinator. You know, if there's a step back year for them, I think it could be explained away relatively quickly. They also don't often have those years when Lamar's healthy. Like, if you look at Lamar Jackson's record, QB wins, I know, say what you will about QB wins. When they go 8-9, it's because he misses 7 games. Here's his record by year. 6-1, 13-2, 11-4, 7-5, 8-4, 13-3. He does not finish under 500, period. Right now he's 1-2.
He's got 1 year there where he was kind of close, 7-5.
7-5. 1 year.
And otherwise he's way above it.
Yep. So if they lose to the Bills, which they very well could, then their season is on the line the following week because they play Cincinnati. And if you want to stay in the mix, you're going to have to probably beat the Bengals. Then they play the Commanders, the Bucks, Browns, Broncos. They have a little bit of a softer spot in their schedule. What they do in their division is ultimately what will decide what happens with them.
And I'm not impressed by their division. Like, their division looks gettable right now. If Pittsburgh is the only team that's going to be up there at the top of the pack, and Pittsburgh's not going 13-4.
No, but Pittsburgh-Baltimore games are always, like, what's going to happen? You know, it's pretty intense. It's a good question.
But can they keep pace with Pittsburgh? Because Cincinnati, who are you more worried about for the season right now, the Ravens or the Bengals?
Like, for the Bills as competitors?
No, just like, who would you be more worried if you're a fan of, if you're a Ravens fan or you're a Bengals fan right now? Who's more worried?
And the Bengals lost to New England, right? The Bengals lost to...
Well, the Ravens lost to the Raiders.
I think
bad.
The Raiders are fine. The Raiders' defense is legitimately good. And Gardner Minshew is not, I mean, he's respectable over Jacoby Brissett. A loss to the Patriots at home is much worse than a loss to the Raiders. Also, you had the lead on the Raiders. Whereas the Bengals, I mean, what, they just didn't score against New England?
Well, the thing about the Bengals right now, too, is that their defense might really be a problem.
Yeah.
Like, they are maybe finally seeing a little bit of the fruits of, hey, everyone calls them cheap all the time. And they let some players on defense walk out the door, and they haven't done a great job replacing them. So when you're sustaining your team around your franchise quarterback, who's going to be good at that? Right now the Bengals don't look like they're off to a great start. They have also not really had T. Higgins play yet. I mean, he played last game, but he was coming back from an injury. But I would be more worried if I'm a Bengals fan. Like, to Connor's question, if the Ravens lose this week, I still think they're going to be... I still would pick them to win the division. If they lost to the Bills this week.
If you were looking at the Bengals before the year and you were to say they're going to lose to the Commanders and the Patriots.
Oh, man.
You'd be like, whoa, okay, it's...
You would have thought Burrow's wrist like snapped again or something.
Yeah. One of those teams will probably be a wild card and maybe be a little bit of a scrappy and dangerous wild card.
By the way, speaking of the Raiders real quick, you think they're a decent team?
I do.
Did you hear Antonio Pierce's comment after their game on Sunday?
2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago he said guys made business decisions?
That was this past Sunday.
Okay.
He said guys made business decisions, we'll continue to make business decisions ourselves. Then, yesterday, Devontae Adams pops up in the injury report with a hamstring injury. Should we talk about Devontae Adams? Is he not talking about Devontae Adams?
I don't.
That was the dots I saw a few people connecting. There were a couple plays that were being pointed out, like that Antonio Pierce, like he's talking about Devontae Adams, who was rumored to be a little unhappy coming into the year, which would make sense. He went there to play with Derek Carr. Derek Carr got traded away. Then Garoppolo stunk. Now he's got Minshew. Minshew's done okay.
Yeah.
But how much does Adams want to be there? And is this coach going to be like, if you're not 100% in, even if you're only 80% in, we don't need you? Like, Pierce kind of is coming off like he would be the type of coach that would be like, yeah, go up to the GM and be like, this guy's not all the way bought in.
And then they'll trade him to the Jets.
You think they'll trade him to the
Jets? The Jets are the favorite to have Devontae Adams.
Okay.
I've seen odds on if he gets traded. The Bills are not far off the top, but Devontae Adams, the favorite, is the Jets.
I didn't even know there were odds on
that. And there's a comment, you know, Rodgers already made this comment. This is how, you know, the Bills right now are operating in a space where they have not faced a defense that's been tough for them to beat, so they spread the ball around and they're fine. This week, Denver plays in New York, and Patrick Surtain said, like, we're going to focus on taking out Garrett Wilson. And Rodgers last week at the podium said, Mel Kiper's nightmare, they tried to take away Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
If the Jets find that teams can take away Garrett Wilson and that Mike Williams isn't doing it enough in the passing game, it's like Tyler Conklin and Alan Lazard.
Yeah.
If they were to roll out Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams,
yeah,
and Rodgers is 70% of his peak form, it's a pretty tough team to stop. With home run threats, Breece Hall, and Braylon Allen, who looks great too.
Yep.
So if the Jets get far enough along where they think we could win it, then they will probably, I would advise them, it would be a good idea, overpay for something you think that would make a difference. You know, one of those flags fly forever. People have mocked the Jets for a full year plus for going so far in on Rodgers. And if it looks like they are within striking distance to make a real push, then yeah, they should trade for Adams. I mean, has Mike Williams been a part of their offense at all?
I saw him catch one jump ball, I think, in the second game, and that in the New England game, maybe, and that was about it.
He has four catches for 53 yards.
Okay. No, Lazard's been the guy.
Yeah.
Lazard, actually, do you have all the Jets numbers or just Williams in front of you? Because I think Lazard has actually been pretty decent for them.
Lazard has 11 catches, 148, and three touchdowns.
Okay, so he's been their number two.
Yeah. 803-0550. We're going to break in, get to Extendo Sports, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, what else?
Sabres play a German team today.
2:30 today.
2:30.
Red Bull Munich.
What's the spread? Should the spread be 4.5 goals?
Can you bet it? It's an exhibition.
I'm looking. You might be able to.
No.
You can't bet an exhibition? What's wrong with that? Why can't you bet an exhibition?
I guess you can. I mean, like, preseason games are exhibitions. Anyway, Sabres and Red Bull Munich. The Sabres split squad, baby team.
The baby team, yeah.
Yeah. They've got games coming up still.
Yep, they had a game last night. Noah Oslin made the SportsCenter top 10 with his overtime winner last night.
It was nice. One reason that Sabres Munich is must win is because the big team can't be the first Buffalo Sabres to lose.
That's right.
In this preseason. They are unbeaten on everything.
4-0. I wonder, is Ottawa taking the preseason pledge this morning? Because they had NHLers playing last night, and they got outshot 41-16 by the Sabres. Probably just preseason pledge, though, I would think. Can you bet this? I don't think you can bet this. No, you can't. Sabres from Germany?
Jochen Hecht.
Jochen Hecht. All time. Gotta be, right?
Yeah, is that it? Paterka.
Paterka.
How much more does Paterka have to do to be the greatest German Sabre? Sabre from Germany, Germany.
Christian Ehrhoff.
What is he?
Ehrhoff.
Oh, good.
That's
one.
A good one.
Very good one. Well, he's got to pass Hecht. And he was here a long time, wasn't he? And he was... See, this is where I'm 11 in 05-06, so like I have a memory of who was good and who was not so good and who was pretty good. I thought Jay McKee was the top defenseman on that team, and you corrected me on that like a year ago. So I feel like I remember Hesch being really good in those two seasons.
Here we go. So if we're doing Sabres German players, Hesch has 463 career points.
Okay.
Paterka has 82. But.
So he's got five. He's got to go five times more.
With two more points, Paterka will pass Dominic Cahoon.
Oh, for NHL career then, not for the Sabres. Because there's no way he had 85 points for the Sabres.
Yeah.
How about Alex Sulzer also as a former German Sabre? That's a depth one.
Uwe Krupp.
Oh, sure. Game-winning Stanley Cup goal. Not for the Sabres.
Drafted by the Sabres.
Yep.
1983. Ehrhoff. Number one all-time German scorer in the NHL?
Dreisaitl.
Yes.
Yeah, gotta be.
By nearly 400 points.
Ooh, hold on. I mean, they're going to be a one-line team, but Olympics in 2 years. Dreisaitl, Paterka, and Stutzla from Ottawa.
Yeah.
All right. That's a line.
Yes, it is.
One week till the season.
Well, I hope Paterka scores a million goals because he's awesome.
Over under 37.5 goals.
For the season?
For the season.
I'll go under 37.5. It's a big number, but I think we'll get to like 33, 34.
All right.
What do you have last year?
28.
Yeah. He'll get to 30 this year. JJ.
The turkey.
All right, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up next. Happy Friday,